We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think he can carry all personnel groups and kind of package type runs. He is a downhill, probably what you'd say, no BS runner. At least the games he has played. That's what he's presented us. I know he got some extensive work last year, and he's that guy that's just going to expectation to get the team 4 yards first, and then whatever he gets after that, then that's his stuff, you know, and that's great for us. But I think he can be guaranteed to put good ball placement and get it north and south.
Fan Hotline is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town. Steelers offensive coordinator Randy Feitner calling Stephen Ridley a no BS runner.
No bounce, no speed.
Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider, said that the Connor injury is now one of the Steelers' worst nightmares because of their situation at running back. Let's bring on John Clayton, ClaytonFootball.com, Hall of Fame football writer. John, would you agree with Bouchette? Is this kind of a worst fear realized for the Steelers, their running back situation?
It is, no question about it, because you can see that, you know, even though it was not going to work out for Le'Veon's reasons, they wanted Le'Veon back for the last six games, and they wanted him back just in case something like this happened. And so, no, I think that it puts him in a tough spot because, you know, the yards gained from the backfield is so important, whether it's from Le'Veon Bell, James Connors, or whoever. And you would have to think now that you're basically down to your third-string running back, fourth-string running back, and whatever rotation. That's going to be a big drop-off. So, no, this is a disastrous injury, losing Connor. But, again, that's why they tried like crazy to at least get Bell to come in for the last six games.
John, where's the greater sin here, maybe? The offseason, the Steelers not just being more decisive with Bell and deciding maybe not to franchise tag him, or the way they handled the draft with more of a pass catcher in Jalen Samuels, or even Mike Tomlin not giving Samuels or Ridley reps when Connor was the guy. Where do you kind of put the most blame for how things have shaken out?
Le'Veon Bell.
Well, if I exempted Bell himself from this,
you can give reps to the other running backs, but are they going to be that much better? I mean, and so, you know, giving Connor the ball, I mean, it worked. Although, again, you can see the wear and tear in the last couple games being affected. Now, of course, he's out for a couple weeks. You know, as far as the off-season acquisitions, I mean, again, it's like, you know, this team drafts wide receivers well, and they stock that position well. Again, you have to anticipate that you're going to have your top two backs. And even if it was going to be 6 weeks late in the season, I don't really put too much fault on the Steelers on any of this. You know, again, you know, maybe, I mean, should they have picked up another running back? But who's going to be really good enough this late in the season to be able to handle things?
John,
I mean, the talent's there, but it's not there right now at the running back position without Connor.
Am I missing something with C.J. Anderson? He just signed with the Raiders this week. He went for 1,000 yards last year with Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, and Paxton Lynch as his quarterbacks in Denver. He thought he was going to be Mark Ingram to Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara in Carolina, but McCaffrey was too good for him to get playing time. I don't know. If C.J. Anderson was the Steelers running back, I'd feel a lot better about their situation.
Yeah, I would too. I definitely would too. That should have been somebody that they should have considered signing, because if you're going to be Anderson, I mean, you would rather come to a Steeler team that's going to make the playoffs as opposed to a Raider team that's the Titanic. And so he's just looking for a job. I mean, he left Carolina, and I was kind of surprised that Carolina let him go. I was surprised that Denver let him go. There was only 9 backs last year that had 1,000-yard seasons, and he's the only one that didn't get a chance to go back with the team where he had the 1,000 yards. So that caught me by surprise. But, yeah, it also caught me by surprise that, you know, he's bounced around as much as he has. I guess it does show that maybe at his age, of course, he's only, what, 27, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's that old. So, no, I thought that would have been a consideration to bring him in, because at least he's a viable back who can start.
John, of Stephen Ridley and Jalen Samuels, and Samuels is a guy that has, I believe, one double-digit carry game in his entire college career, was more of an H-back kind of Swiss Army knife guy. If you had to guess who you think the Steelers would divvy up the carries and give the lion's share to in this Oakland game, who would it be of those two?
Well, you'd have to figure it's probably Edmonds because as much as Ridley has been around and he's been in this league for some time, you know, he's been inactive the last several weeks, and that's by choice. You know, Edmonds just comes off the practice squad, but now they have to try to rotate both in. I mean, you would figure that the Ridley's strength is really being that pass-catching back. You know, because that's where, you know, he can do some things. And so probably the combination where, you know, you got Edmonds on the early downs, Ridley on the passing downs, and then, you know, kind of balance it out and, you know, just hope that you can get some running plays, because if not, then, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is going to be throwing 35 to 40 passes.
Is that a bad thing? Ben's record when he throws 40 or more times this year, John, is not very good. He leads the league in passing yards, but he's got a ton of interceptions. I mean, when you look at the Steelers' offense and the way they've been going the last couple of games, I mean, what are your thoughts on Ben and just asking him to throw the ball a million times?
Yeah, it's dangerous, particularly at this time of the year where weather plays into it. And, you know, there's now – it's funny because, I mean, this is still a quarterback-driven league. And
right.
You still have, you know, yards and plays that are – you know, all the NFL records are pretty much going to be shattered with the passing yards. But still, I think you can see in the good teams that the running game also plays such a vital role. And, you know, the more that you have to throw over 35 passes, I think it's tougher to win because you have more chances to make mistakes. I mean, Pete Carroll yesterday at his press conference was asked why he likes to run the ball. And basically his rationale is, yeah, because you can make less mistakes. I mean, you can make more because you're going to have less chance to fumble the ball than you will with receiver running a wrong route, an interception happening there, a sack putting things back, a holding penalty on a pass block. So the better you can run the ball, the more it helps out any team that's going to be having a great quarterback.
John, the league average per carry this year when teams run the ball, and I'm thinking of guys like Philip Lindsay who are just bursting on the scene. Justin Jackson tore the Steelers up in that Chargers game in the second half. The average yards per rush for teams overall throughout the league is up 0.3, which doesn't seem like much, but to me actually is a pretty big jump, almost 4.5 per carry. Do you think that the sort of the prevalence of the RPO has actually, as an underreported story, made it a lot easier to run the football for teams in general?
Oh, yeah, no question. And I think also the fact that you have such great running backs on some of these RPO teams. Now, you don't have that in Philadelphia right now because you lose Jay Ajayi, and they're struggling just to get some kind of a running game going. But when you start to look at, you know, what you see out of the Chargers, but I think what you see out of the Rams, what you see to a certain degree out of Chicago, I think that, you know, it opens things up because if you have all these varied offenses and you have all these fake plays that linebackers and cornerbacks and that are trying to adjust to, and then you get the big handoff, then it's good. But I think also this is a byproduct. There's been three really good drafts of running backs in the last 3 years, and this running back draft was considered to be the best probably in more than a decade, probably back to like 2005. And so you can see it. I mean, here's Lindsay. He wasn't even drafted. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's out beating out Royce Freeman, who was a third-round pick, and it's not a bad running back. I mean, I think what you're seeing is that this great infusion of running backs that have come in, but there's no question the RPOs and the fakes and that, they have helped.
John Clayton, check out his new site. Subscribe to it, ClaytonFootball.com. It was a historic loss for the Steelers, biggest collapse in home history, 16 points and a 14-point halftime lead. John, how did that loss change your outlook or opinion on the Steelers season?
Well, what it does, it pretty well locks them in, I think, more than anything else, into most likely getting a number four seed. And so that means that you know, they have to win two games to go to the Super Bowl, and it pretty well takes away the chance to pull a home game away from the New England Patriots. Because, I mean, you can see with both Kansas City and New England, the gap is so big that they're most likely, again, the Chargers, they're sitting there one game behind. They could be a factor in this, too. But it just puts them behind the eight ball a little bit because now, you know, you have to go to two places that are going to be tough to win, whether it's going to be Kansas City. I mean, I guess the hope is for the Steelers that the Chargers top the Chiefs and take away that division, because at least, you know, the Steeler fans can get into the StubHub more so than the Charger fans, and that could be a little bit more of a home game than it would be in Kansas City. So if anything, you're a Steeler fan, you're rooting for the Chargers to knock off the Chiefs. So at least if you have to go to one of these places in the AFC West, you're going to a place where you can get tickets and not have a big home field advantage for the other team.
John, are the Chiefs still the favorites even though Kareem Hunt is no longer with them? In the AFC, at least.
Yeah, I'd say so.
What is New England to you?
What I mean, what's that?
What is New England right now?
New England's just a good, solid team that's just kind of hanging on. because you can see Tom Brady is missing more of the easy throws that he could make than he's ever missed before. That doesn't mean he's done, but I think you can start to see there is a decline in his game. You know, to his credit, I mean, Bill Belichick is now starting to run the ball a little bit more to make it a little bit easier on Tom Brady. And, you know, they still don't have playmakers on defense, but somehow, some way, he gets the most out of them with all the packages. I mean, they just do what they do every year. They hang in there. You know, it goes back to like 3-4 years ago where I always thought you never know what you have with the Patriots until they make the playoffs. And that's when I think you got the same thing this year. You know, the last couple of years in 2016 and 17, they looked really good. Now they look like a team that you really don't know. And that's because what happens is they have the easy division. You know, they get 5-6 wins out of the AFC East. And so, you know, they may be 6-4 or whatever against the other teams, which is pretty average. But overall, I mean, they're still a team that is still trying to find itself, but usually Bill Belichick finds a way to do it, and somehow, some way, he usually ends up with home field advantage.
John, this will be the Steelers' last trip to Oakland. When you think back on those epic showdowns in the 70s, was that professional football at its very best, Steelers-Raiders?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was absolutely the best. I mean, and, you know, to a small degree, the Houston Oilers series, because that was just so physical. Still remember the one game down in Houston I went to that I think they had like 13 players taken off the field with injuries. But the big thing with the Raiders was there was such an intense rivalry both on the field and off the field. I mean, you know, the fact that you know, here was John Madden flying in, staying over at the Hilton because he hated flying and all that stuff. I mean, he was apprehensive in some of the movies they would have because just to try to keep the team up. But, I mean, you had, you know, such physical type of plays, such emotional type of plays, and the fact that both teams hated each other so much. But it was as good as it gets. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh-Baltimore has been a very good series, probably the best in football in most of the last 6-7 years, but it doesn't top anything from that Oakland series going against the Steelers. It was just unbelievable how intense those games were.
What was Al Davis overall to the NFL? I'm fascinated just by the kind of profile that he cut as an owner. So what was he to the league, in your opinion?
He was the maverick. I mean, he was the one who went against the grain and used everything that he could, right or wrong, to try to get his team to win. I mean, he would take the chances on the players that had bad backgrounds. He would take the gambles. He would sue the league to try to get different advantages. He would do everything he possibly can to at least win. And, of course, if you didn't like him, he didn't care. I mean, he cared about his players. He took care of his players very well. He tried to make sure that they had the right coaching and all the right things to win. I mean, he was just a great football guy. But, again, he did it against the grain. I mean, if he wanted to move the franchise, he moved the franchise. If he didn't like it, sue. I mean, it's just he was such a remarkable character in that sense that covering him, getting to know him, watching how he did things, you know, the secret things he would try to do to get information on everybody else, it was just an amazing guy. I mean, one of the most pronounced guys in sports as far as just intrigue.
Really fast here, John. In balance, would you say Al Davis was good for the NFL, and do you think the league would benefit from having an owner or two that was more like him today?
Well, I mean, what was so good is he built up a brand. And the Raider brand, I mean, this league is so much better when Oakland is winning because it just gets that brand. It's the same thing as the Cowboys, the same thing as the Steelers, the same thing as some of the top teams. I mean, when you have a brand as good as the Raiders and the fans that they have, I mean, you want to service them with victories. I mean, that's why 2-10 or 2-11 is just a disaster right now and what's going on with the team. But this league is so much better when the Raiders are winning. And again, that's because of the brand that Al Davis created.
Is the apex moment the immaculate reception in the rivalry for you?
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, you could say that because, again, now that was the start. So I wouldn't call it the apex. I mean, that was the beginning in 1972 when they had the immaculate reception. It just showed that, hey, they now can play on that level. But then, you know, some of the games that they had, I mean, championship games in Pittsburgh, I mean, certainly, you know, that the one where really the Steelers lose their top two running backs to injuries, Franco and Rocky Blyer, and then the Raiders, you know, slip through and get Boobie Harrison stopped and go to the Super Bowl. But that's the great part. I mean, as great as the games were, the Steelers had the advantage all the way, mostly through the 70s, despite how great the Raiders were and also how good the Houston Oilers were.
John Clayton, check him out, claytonfootball.com. Thanks so much, John. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thanks.
I could listen to John Clayton just talk about that rivalry for hours on end, because I bet the stories he's got, especially about Al Davis, are off the charts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.